Would you open your Bibles, please, to 1 John today? 1 John chapter 3. I have a number of scriptures I want to share today. I'm going to let the Word, I think, do most of the preaching today. Just take the Word itself. It's very clear and very straightforward, and I believe it'll minister to your heart. We're going to begin in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to read three verses, actually, beginning at verse 22. 1 John 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, that's an important verse. It tells us that we have power to receive whatever we ask of him as we find ourselves keeping his commandments. And verse 23 tells us what the commandments are. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, you know that you have certainly obeyed the first portion of that dual-edged commandment, and that is to believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And if the Holy Spirit resides in you and you know that he dwells inside you, then you know that you have been obedient to that particular portion of the commandment. But there's a second portion, another edge on the sword of the New Testament. The New Testament says we have essentially two commands. One is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus to the saving of our soul, and the second command is that we should love one another. In the 13th chapter of John, if you'll turn with me, I'm going to give you time to find these scriptures as we're reading them, because I want you to see them for yourself. John chapter 13, Jesus is at the Last Supper. He has washed the feet of his disciples, which is certainly an act of love. And then he has received the Passover supper with them and explained, they didn't understand it, but he explained what it meant. And at the conclusion of that supper, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, and here it is, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The next verse tells us that this is a mark of a disciple of Jesus. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, I think typically we're looking for evidences in our life to give testimony that we belong to the Lord Jesus. We want to be able to heal the sick. We want to be able to lay hands on people and have them be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and et cetera, et cetera. We want to see the power of God manifested through us and delivered through us and flowing through us. But without really knowing it, we're making the mistake of Simon the sorcerer, who at Damascus offered Peter money if he would give him the power to lay hands on people and they would get baptized in the Holy Ghost, start speaking in tongues. And we oftentimes make the same mistake without realizing that that is not the thing that Jesus has said will mark us as his disciple. The thing that marks us is that we have love one for another, that we truly walk with one another in love, in real love. We are to love all men according to the Word of God. We're told that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. But there is a special incumbency upon us to love the brethren, to love one another within the body of Christ, particularly within the local church, within the local family, but beyond that as well into the broader body of Christ. We're to love especially the brethren. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 is a verse that says we are to honor all men, love the brotherhood. Honor all men, but love the brotherhood. There's something special in our relationship to Christ that makes us part of the same family. One of the things that we discovered, wasn't it, when we were first born again, was the love that used to be reserved only for blood family. All of a sudden, we began to feel for spirit family, didn't we? Remember that? Remember how that felt? And in some cases where we had family members that were not very lovable, we found it easier to love the spiritual family than the blood family, didn't we? And we marveled at that. And particularly those of us who were not in the same community with our family and didn't have regular regular contact and intercourse with our family members, as some do when you all live in the same area, that family relationship within the church, within the body of Christ, became very, very special, and those relationships became very, very intense and very, very close and very, very important to us, and we began to feel about one another as if we were blood related. We are, I guess, in a sense, blood related. We're related by the blood of the Lord Jesus, but in terms of the way we look at things in the natural, it's not that way. Honor all men and have a love for everyone and treat one another like the Good Samaritan. Jesus, when he was teaching along these lines, when he said, love your neighbor as yourself, well, one fellow rose up and said, well, tell me who my neighbor is. And Jesus said, well, let me give it to you this way. And he told him the story of the Good Samaritan. And the essential was that anybody you come in contact with who has a need, that's your neighbor, and you love him. But all through the Word of God, I'm impressed by the fact that there is a special bond and a special love that is incumbent upon us all as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus. Love the brotherhood. We are to, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I tell you, there's a strong anointing on this word this morning as I'm sharing it with you. I just feel it very strongly within me. I'm not sure why, but it's something. It's important to us. It's an important subject for us to deal with today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. This is Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another. And then here's the separation, and toward all men. But there's an emphasis on toward one another, even as we do towards you. That is, even as we increase and abound. And so our love for each other ought not to be something that when we're first born again, we have this passionate kind of affection and love for each other. But as we grow older, it grows colder. It ought not to be that way according to the Word of God. It is the will of our Heavenly Father that as spiritual brothers and spiritual sisters, that we develop our ties of love even closer and stronger and more powerful so that they cannot be broken by the ebb and flow of life. Isn't it unfortunate, the stupid little things that can cause brothers and sisters in Christ to become antagonistic towards each other, angry with each other, bitter towards each other, and hurtful towards each other, even in the same church? Tragic that that happens. When the Scripture says that we are to, as we walk with the Lord, we are to increase in our love for each other, not decrease. And we are to abound in that love for each other, not just kind of live along on barely get along street in terms of our love and our affection for each other. 1 John chapter 1, let's move over there. Now, I'm going to come back to some of these scriptures later when I tie them all together, hopefully. 1 John chapter 1. I'm giving these to us today as the Lord was giving them to me in preparation for this morning, and I'm trusting Him to pull them all together before we're finished. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. Now, I'm sorry, 1 John 1, 9. 2:9, I'm sorry, 2:9. 2:9. No wonder you couldn't find it. I'm having the same problem I had with the music, Billy. Huh? Don't you get too much enjoyment out of this. Yeah, I bet you are. You're keeping a book, but I'm going to nail you before this message is over. We wouldn't exactly call that love, would we? Kindly affection. He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in the darkness even until now. Now remember when we've looked at this word hate in the past, and the word hate as it's translated in the New Testament in the King James is not as powerful a word as we would use the word hate. Generally speaking, generally it means to love inadequately. Remember we read in Matthew chapter 10 that in order to be a disciple of Jesus that one must hate his mother and father. Well, my mom's with us today. I want to assure her that I do not hate her. But I do love her less than Jesus. Fortunately, that doesn't bother her because she loves me less than she loves Jesus. And so when we see this word hate here, it means generally to love in a lesser way, in an inadequate way. That's the way I would read this passage. He that says he's in the light, oh yeah, I see clearly. But he's angry with his brother, he's in the darkness and doesn't know it. He that loveth his brother, on the other hand, abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. This is real important to us. We are in the process of making some significant decisions as a church. We want to make right decisions. We don't want to fall into a trap, do we? We don't want to be snared, do we? We don't want to stumble, do we? And I think this is perhaps why this message is coming right at this particular time, to exhort us to be sure that we are operating in love towards one another, because it is so important. When we do not do that, we can make some serious mistakes. That's what it means to stumble or to be snared. So if a man who loves his brother is abiding in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him, he's not going to err. He's not going to make a mistake. On the other hand, he that hateth his brother is in the darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And I wonder if it isn't the case that oftentimes we do make serious lifetime mistakes, life-controlling mistakes, because simply we refuse to walk in love towards one another. And the darkness enters us, and we don't realize what's happening, we don't see clearly, we think we do, and we make wrong decisions, wrong judgments. Now let's turn with me, please, to 1 Peter. Everybody keeping up here? 1 Peter chapter 3, not chapter 3, chapter, yes, no it isn't, chapter 1. There is another one in chapter 4 I want us to get to a little later. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. This is the verse the Lord gave me initially when he began to show me these things for today. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart and fervently. There's several things in this passage. First of all, the love that we are to have towards each other is to be unfeigned. Would anybody hazard an assessment of the word unfeigned? What does that mean to you, unfeigned? What does it mean to feign something? Fake it, thank you. To feign it is to fake it. An unfeigned love is a genuine love, an unfaked love. It's not, good morning, how are you? You look wonderful today. I'd like to put a knife in you. Well, that never happens at church. Unfeigned love, not fake, genuine, sincere. Love one another with a pure heart. Now, you see, you cannot hold bitterness against someone, have your heart pure. That's where fake love comes from. A heart that has not been kept pure or purified. And then the word fervently is a powerful word. It is the exact opposite of casually or lethargically or apathetically. It means active. The word that comes to my mind when I read the word fervent, I did not do a word study on this. But I bet if we studied that word, this would be the synonym, hot. Hot. Get heated up in our love towards one another and show it in a passionate way. You understand what I mean by that. All right, now let's continue on that line and go to Romans 12. I'm going to give you the how before we're done. Some of you are saying, well, how? How would I do that? How would I do that? I'll show you how. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul says, let love be without dissimulation. This is another one of those King James words that we don't really relate to generally when we read them. The word dissimulation means hypocrisy. It means saying one thing and meaning another. It means loving for the wrong reasons. It means fake, phony, feigned and false, as opposed to real and genuine. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Make sure that it is genuine, that it is sincere, that it really comes from your heart, and it will if your heart is pure. Let's go back to 1 Peter again. This time we'll go to chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Lord, help us to not just understand this mentally, but really understand it and walk in it. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 8, and above all things, everybody say, above all things. Go lay your hands on the sick and get them healed. Go do miracles in my name. Above all things, if you don't do anything else, do this. Have fervent, here's that word, have fervent charity. Now, the Greek word for charity is, anybody know what this word is? Agape, love. Have fervent God love, the God kind of love, among yourselves. Why? Because charity or agape love will cover the multitude of sins. Love covers the multitude of sins. It is a wonderful healer. Now turn back with me to 1 Timothy, and this ties in. I've always thought this verse, I've never preached out of this verse, but it has always struck me every time I read through this passage, 1 Timothy chapter 1. I believe all of us, as we read the Word of God, We want to have our faith be stronger. We want to operate in the kind of faith that is possible for us. And we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so we read God's Word so that our faith gets strong, stays strong, and will be activated in a strong and powerful way. But there is another and even higher purpose for the Word of God. And it has to do with what we're talking about today. Peter said, above all things, have love for each other, fervent love. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. Now, let's examine what this verse is saying. When he says the end of the commandment, he's not referring to the termination of the commandment. He's talking about the result of the commandment, the effect of the commandment. When he uses the word commandment, he's referring to the Word of God. Over and over again, we find through the Scriptures the word commandment is a synonym for the Word. And what Paul is saying here is the end result or the final result, what the Word of God is trying to produce in us and accomplish in us. And if we really have come to the place where the Word of God has had its desired result in us, it's not primarily that we would go about, you know, go into every hospital and send everybody home well. The primary result of the Word of God working in us is to make us like Him. And what is He? He's love. John said He is love. He doesn't do love, He is love. And that's what He's trying to make us into. So that all of our thoughts and all of our actions, all of our deeds, everything we do is sponsored by that primary motivation, because that becomes our very nature. And when we take His Word into us, whom are we taking into us? We're taking Him into us, because He and His Word are the same, aren't they? They're one. And so the end result, the desired result of the Word of God working in us, when we come to a place where we can love one another out of a pure heart, in addition to having sincere faith and a clear conscience, when we are able to and willing to love one another from a pure heart, we can say the Word of God is working in me mightily. Now, somebody could really encourage their pastor right there if they were to say, well, thank you so very much. I regret I had to drag that out of you. If this were a black church, I would just say, can I get a witness? The end of the commandment. Think of it. What is God trying to do with us as He invests His Word in us? Is He trying to get us just so that we can heal the sick and raise the dead? No. Is that what marks a disciple? No. Remember that in the last days, the son of perdition is going to come, and he's going to do some mighty miracles too. In fact, the book of Revelation, we're told that he will lead many astray. We saw it happen in Egypt when Moses went into town and he did some miracles, remember, with his staff, and the magicians and the sorcerers did some of the same. Now, they weren't able to do as many and they weren't able to do as well. But there is a reality of the supernatural in the wicked world as well. But the one thing that the devil cannot imitate is sincere, fervent, genuine love out of a pure heart. 1 John chapter 3 tells us, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. The only way that a person can really walk in this kind of love is to know God, and it is a definite sign. Jesus said, this is how men will know that you are my disciples, in that you have a passionate, fervent, red-hot love for one another out of a pure heart. That is the result of the Word of God that's being invested in us. And so I think he would want us to say today, well, let me turn my eyes this way. Not let me look on your life, but let me look on my own and say, is that what's happening in me? Am I growing in this area? Am I becoming more and more like the Lord in this regard? If not, the Word of God is not having the desired effect in us. Now, how is that love shown? How may we determine whether or not we are increasing and abounding? Let's go to a couple of scriptures and see if we get some insight. Let's go first to Philippians chapter 2. This whole passage, I mean, a guy could take this, 10, 11 verses and preach for the next year out of them. And we're going to do it in a few minutes. So we're not going to get everything that's here, but we're going to concentrate on what the Lord is trying to get across to us today. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, that would be selfishness, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, does this speak to the issue this morning as to how we might walk in love with one another and how we might show that we love each other in the way that God loves us? How does that translate? It translates thusly, that I care more about what happens to you than what happens to me. That I care more about the blessing in your life than the blessing in mine. That I care more about your prospering than my prospering. I care more about your circumstances than mine. Isn't that what this says? That if we are going to have the same love, that we will look not on our own things selfishly. What can I get? See, this is an area where Christians should grow. When we're first born again and we understand that God really loves us and he wants to give to us and so on and so on, and we, oh yes, Lord, I want this, and oh, do this, and oh, do that, but we should grow beyond that to the point where we would say, oh, Lord, do this for Dan, and do this for Dale, and do this for Pat, and do this for Vera, and do this for Bill, and do this for Don. Because I know that you're going to do exceeding abundantly in my life above what I can ask or think. But I want you to touch Fran Waters, Lord, and I just want your presence to be upon her today. Now, what is that? That is being more concerned about the situation of the other person than your own personal situation. Now, that's not natural for a natural man. And that's not natural for a person who's walking in the flesh. But a person who's walking in the Spirit, you see, will begin to think like God. And how did God think? Here's how God thought, and that's what this whole passage is about. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So how does God think? How does he operate? He walks in love towards us in that he is more concerned about what happens to us than he is about what happens to himself. How do we know that? Because he laid aside all of the glories of heaven and he took upon himself our weaknesses and came here to be a part of us and became obedient even unto death, even though he had done nothing wrong, we had done the wrong. And so Paul says in verse 5, you be like this. You let this, well, Pastor, I can't do that. You're asking for too much. God knows I can't do that. Well, see, that's a lie. That's the devil's lie. Because the Word of God says, let this mind be in you. Now, if he says, let this mind be, then it can be in you, but you have to permit it. You have to cooperate with it. You have to encourage it. Does that make sense to you? And what he's saying here is, think like God thinks. Think like Jesus thinks. And act like him in terms of how we relate to each other. Now, let's get more specific. And let's go back to John again and hear it from the lips of Jesus himself. John chapter 15 this time. John chapter 15. How are we to show genuine love towards each other? It's one thing to say, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But how do we demonstrate that? We've been studying in Sunday school that faith without works is not faith at all, it's dead. And love without actions that correspond is also dead. It's empty. It's feigned. It's fake. It's dissimulation. It's not genuine love. So in John 15, Jesus said, verse 12, man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so how would we validate genuine love towards each other? Based on this, how would you do it? You'd lay down your life for your brother or sister. Now you say, well, what do I do? Do I go out here in the yard and ask somebody to shoot me? No, the word life here is the Greek word psuche. This is the self-life. This is the emotional life. This is the, we've talked about this is the soul life, not the spirit life. This is the soul life, the self life. And so as Jesus had, I mean, he had everything, but he surrendered it all for our benefit. What should we be doing towards each other? Likewise, precisely. The way you show love towards each other is, I want to go fishing today. I really want to go bad. I've been planning for it a long time. But my brother calls me and says, Pastor Vic, I can't find anybody to help me. I got a refrigerator I got to move. Will you give me a hand? I say, sorry, Steve, I'm going fishing. I've been planning this for such a long time. Or I would say, I go fishing anytime. My brother needs a strong back and a weak mind. And here I am. And so I go over and help him move his refrigerator. And what would you call that? You would call that preferring the other person, and you would call that laying down your own desires and laying down your own will and your own feelings in order to help somebody else and be a blessing. We've got a church full of people like that. I tell you, I am so grateful. I mean, every time I see it, it's a wonderful expression of the love of God. It's wonderful. We need to be continually reminded of the importance of this. Laying down your life. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. Now, let's go back to 1 John, and we'll wind up there, I think. 1 John chapter 3, that's kind of where we got started today. So we're to love one another, we're to love all men, but especially we're to love the brotherhood. We show that love by denying ourselves and preferring the other person, doing for them when we would rather be doing for ourselves, crucifying ourselves, so to speak, in order to be a blessing to them, just as Jesus did. He laid down his glory, he laid down his life, so that we could live. 1 John chapter 3, in verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Remember what I said before, it's not the great miracles that demonstrate that we belong to Jesus. We validate the fact that we are his by our love for each other. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And here John says it, he puts it in his own words. Back there he had recorded Jesus' words. Here he puts it in his own words. We know that we have passed from death unto life. We know that we're new creatures because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Now this is talking about genuine hate. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Here's how we can really see the love of God in manifestation. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, in most of our churches, now I know this is not the case in this church, and I'm so grateful for it, but in most of our churches, this is the general understanding of how this works. The pastor's supposed to lay his life down for the people, but the people are not required to lay down their lives for each other. And generally, we expect that on the part of the pastor because he is the, quote, pastor, you know. He is the one called of God. He's in all this, see. But that's not the case at all. This is something that's incumbent upon all of us, that we are to surrender our own self-life on behalf of each other. Now, you say, Pastor Vic, I'm not sure how I'm going to actually work that out in my life. Don't you worry about that. God will show you how to work that out. Just be sure that you remember what we talked about today so that when the opportunity comes for you, you pass the test and not fail the test. Because I can guarantee you, if the Lord would have me bring a message like this today, there are opportunities ahead. Okay? You have opportunities all the time, but especially there are opportunities ahead. That we are going to have the opportunity to exercise this unfeigned, sincere, genuine love by blessing someone else when it costs us something to do it. And that is the ultimate objective of what God the Holy Spirit is working in us as we study His Word together. That's what He's looking for. That's the fruit. Can you say amen? All right, would you stand with me, please? I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Sounds good, doesn't it? And isn't that what we're talking about today? Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord.